The Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
This is as close to a report card for the Chinese economy as you're going to get. A slew of data for the Chinese economy in the fourth quarter. We're talking about GDP coming in, meeting expectations at 6.4%, but some of the lower GDP growth figures we've seen in a while. Fixed asset investment coming at 5.9%, missing in estimates by a hair. But industrial production coming in at 5.7%, and retail sales up 8.2% on a year-on-year basis. So there's a lot of figures here to sort out, and we want to know what this means for the markets and also what this means for investors who are trying to assess the growth prospects of China and how it might impact markets and the global economy. So with that said, we're joined by Jimmy Tzu. He's the chief market strategist at Fullerton Markets today to help us parse through the numbers and figure out how this is going to impact sentiment moving forward. So Jimmy, you saw the figures come out earlier today, 6.4% for GDP, and all those figures for fixed asset investment, retail sales, industrial production. Give us your impression of the figures and which figures stood out and which figures might be concerning to you.
Well, there's a lot of figures and tell a lot of different things. So just let's give a summary. Today's number isn't that bad. I mean, according to the earlier few, the data in the earlier few months. One thing quite surprised to me is industrial output. And I also think that's a very crucial data to look at because everybody look at the PMI for the month of December, fall, PPI, fall, some other factory data also fall. But this industrial output actually standing up. And some analysts are saying that whether this is because of some early stimulus, especially on the monetary side, has bring the impact to into the real economy. But I still think it's too early to say that at this moment because 1 month data did not really tell lots of things. But I don't rule out the possibilities that some monetary policy and the fiscal policy has kicking into the real economy. So we still need the data in the next coming few months to confirm. On the GDP data at 6.4%, this is the lowest reading since 2009. And given now there's an increasing uncertainty in the Brexit and the Eurozone slowing down like German back GDP, the back growth data last week. So I think the growth outlook for China and also for the Asian region is still pretty challenging for this year.
I think one of the things we ask ourselves about when we look at some of the data is the health of the Chinese consumer. And I bring that up because of the slash in the forecasted sales from Apple. You saw a lot of these semiconductor makers from Korea to Taiwan, even in mainland China, saying that they're expecting lower demand. And even luxury goods makers saying that they might see some headwinds because of slowing demand. Is the view that the Chinese consumer or the strength of the Chinese consumer really starting to wane?
Well, I'm not a tech specialist, but I guess some of the reasons why the Apple and the Samsung downgrade the China growth is also because there's more demands on the domestic phones because we see those Huawei, Xiaomi, Oppo, these phones actually, they are quite creative and their standard is quite matching with the overseas phone for now. But if you buy the phone in iPhone in China and the Samsung phone in China, you probably need to pay a large amount of the premium compared to the local phone. But based on my understanding and some data, especially the retail sales slowing down, the consumer confidence is definitely waning in the past few months. One reason is because of the falling stocks market, and the other reason is because of the slowing property market. And also the most important thing is the peoples are not very exciting about the capital market at this moment because of the U.S. and China trade tensions still largely bites.
The Chinese government has said in recent years, too, that one of the things they're trying to at least accomplish is to try to rebalance the economy so it's more consumer-driven. But if there are signs that consumer demand and consumer confidence in China is waning, what else can the government or what else can officials do in China to perhaps address this?
Well, we do see there's some structural reform in the past few years, but honestly speaking, the key underlying of the China growth is still based on the manufacturing, exports, and the investment. And there's a still long way to go for the consumer to pick up. And according to some data of my research, is 60 to 70% of the China labor markets are highly based in the agriculture and the construction manufacturing sectors. So if those sectors are slowing down, it will definitely dampen their personal income. So without a boost in the personal income, it's very difficult to see the consumer demands to have a substantial turn up.
Okay, we're speaking to Jimmy too. He's the chief strategist at Fullerton Markets. And my next question for you, JB, is looking forward. We did also hear from Chinese officials that their outlook, at least for the GDP growth in China, is actually a bit lower now, between 6 and 6.5%. But here's the thing. If you ask most other countries in the world, hey, you're going to be growing only at 6 to 6.5%, I know almost all countries in the world would probably kill for that number. So why is that high GDP growth number still a bit of a concern for in the Chinese context?
Well, the GDP target for this year, there's some saying about 6 to 6.5%, but this is not still confirmed yet. We need to wait for the final MPC in this March to confirm. And for China, I think the problem is lots of growth in the past decades is built on debts and property sectors. So in order to have a smooth transit, you probably cannot allow the GDP fall too fast. Otherwise, there's a lot of default cases probably will happen. On the good thing is China now we can see the leverage ratio is a bit more stabilized after the past few, after the 2017-2018 deleveraging campaign. So I think probably in the next 5 to 10 years time, a longer horizon of time, I would say the GDP growth between 5.5 to 6% probably will be healthy.
One of the things that's been weighing on global markets also is this brewing trade war between China and the U.S. And it seems, at least on paper, over the last couple of weeks, there's been some progress made. Pleasant talks in Beijing. We have Liu He coming to Washington on January 3rd to continue talks. That Wall Street Journal report that says the Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin saying maybe we'll pause or pull back some of these tariffs leading up to the talks. Your outlook on the upcoming talks on January 30 between Liu He and his counterparts in Washington. And is this going to lead to a breaking of the impasse between the U.S. and China? Or are there still a lot of challenges and complications they'll have to parse through?
Well, it's a very interesting question because in the end, what's the progress of the U.S. and China trade talks depends on the both side, how much concession they are willing to take. But just based on the three areas they are discussing, I think none of them is easy. So first, we talk about China probably agreed to buy more products from the U.S. The challenging thing is what we see the economy probably is in a downturn in the next 1 to 2 years' time at least. So whether China has the demand to absorb, to increase the import from U.S., this is a question mark. Because what we see is if the domestic demand turn weaker, usually China imports growth also will turn slower. And regarding the intellectual property theft and the market open process, I think on these two sides, these two areas, the discussion probably would be more complicated. So based on something I hear that especially on the intellectual, the IP theft issues, there's a very little progression on that based on one report I saw on Bloomberg News this morning. And on the market open side, China is slowing open the outdoor sectors or even the banking sectors at this moment. But the progress, how fast is the progress and what's the timetable for China at this moment, still unclear. So I would say the trade talks between the two nations at this moment still on a very unclear stage. How fast is that? It really depends on the both side, how much concession they're willing to take.
All right. We're still speaking to Jimmy Tzu. He's the chief market strategist over at Fullerton Markets. And Jimmy, speaking of that, I do want to get your outlook on how this might impact markets moving forward. How are you looking at greater Chinese markets, especially given they've all pulled back significantly? If I'm not mistaken, they're still trading somewhere in the upper or just on the fringe of bear market territory at the moment. How are you looking at Chinese markets given all of these developments, GDP growth, the ongoing trade talks as well? Are there opportunities to come back into in the greater Chinese markets, or are there still more headwinds than opportunities at the moment?
Well, I think my opinion is still pretty like bond markets now. In the midterm basis, is still going to outperform the stocks market. For the stocks market to outperform, I think we need two things to present at this moment. First is we need to see the trade talks to have some conclusions, but I see we probably still have time to reach that level yet. And number two is we need the growth to bottom, to pick up. And I think that's some very important criteria for the Chinese stocks market start to pick up. And in the past, actually 5 to 10 years time, we will see the stocks market is still pretty, the move is still pretty in line with the industrial profits of the factory data. So without a meaningful rebound in the factory data, the China stocks market probably will remain the subdued sentiment for this moment. And for the data today, probably, I'm not very sure whether it's bottom or yet to bottom, but it's pretty sure that the PBOC, the Chinese central banks, will continue to inject the liquidities at least to support the economy. So under such environment and the circumstances, the bond markets will continue to outperform the stocks market for the time being.
Like, I'm glad you brought up that point about the PBOC coming in, Jimmy, because they did announce a number of stimulus measures, not just the tax cuts and not just the injection of capital in the open markets as well, but also some tax cuts that they were looking at, especially levied towards small businesses, manufacturing, even auto stocks. Can you talk to us about whether this will be enough to at least jumpstart or give a significant boost to some of the sectors that these stimulus measures are targeted towards?
I think the economic data doesn't agree that the PBOC easing now is done. And also we see the aggregate financing is not really picking up at this moment. So there are some skills for PBOC continue to inject the liquidity into the capital markets. So for the condition for PBOC to doing that, I think there's two very important things. Besides the economic data, two other things probably investors might ignore is, first, we need to look at the US and China trade progress. We noticed that actually lots of our cut, especially in last June, October, and even January, is happened before some key discussion between the US and the China trade discussion. So PBOC, whether this is a preemptive move by the PBOC to inject the liquidity to calm the market first, this is very possible. Number two is the yuan exchange rate. And in the first half of the year, what we see PBOC doesn't really inject lots of liquidity into the system is also because they worry Chinese yuan to weaken above 7 versus US dollar. That would bring large amount of the capital outflow. But now yuan exchange rate is largely stable at this moment thanks to the stable dollar. So for now, dollar seems to have not much reason to appreciate, at least in the next 2 to 3 months' time. So as long as dollar to remain stable, I think that also provides the room for the PBOC continue to inject the liquidity and ease the monetary conditions.
All right. So Jimmy Tu, the chief market strategist at Fullerton Markets, I do want to and touch on two particular sectors. One of the sectors that they were looking to target with regards to stimulus measures was the Chinese auto sector. And we saw auto demand in China slump over the last couple of months. We also heard from German automakers that their exports of automobiles to China also slumped. Also, the stimulus measures that they're planning for the automotive sector, do you think it's going to give any upside?
I think the auto open is quite crucial for China for now because that also benefits lots of China car makers. Lots of China car makers, actually, like Geely, actually, they are also willing to go overseas to expand their business. So if China to lower the tariff on the car side, it's also benefit them to go overseas. That's why lots of people confuse in the past few months that why China China lowered the car tariff is also pushing the China local shares up. So this is the reasons.
All right. And finally, Jimmy, let's talk about the banking sector in China. But there are concerns that the deleveraging and also rising bank debts that they're trying to contain through these deleveraging movements in China might cause some shockwaves in the banking sector.
The banking sector is now, although the leverage ratio is much lower, but there's a huge concern now is with the growth slowing down. Actually, the bank's assets, the quality actually is deteriorating at this moment. So, that is also one of the reasons why the policy easing is not so effective be honestly speaking, is not so effective in the past 6 months. The reason is because the policymakers actually lowered the risk, the R risk for the big banks, encouraged them to lend. But because of the growth slowing down and some assets, the price also drops. So the banks doesn't want to take a further risk to lend to the private sectors. So I think that's also one of the key reasons that the banks, the assets quality now is a big concern at this moment.
From the point of view of Fullerton Markets, is it still a relatively a positive outlook for both auto and banks, automotive and banks in China? Or are these headwinds enough to perhaps make you think, hey, let's sit down and wait for some of these things to actually play out before we actually look for opportunities?
Short-term basis, I still see the auto sectors in China probably will still face some pressure at this moment. It's purely because of the consumer demands at this moment is still pretty subdued. Regarding for the banking sectors, the valuation wise is pretty attractive at this moment, and plus when the index level is about 2.4 to 2.5, if some reasons to push up the China stocks market, banks stocks and those kind of conglomerate stocks are easily to go up at this moment.
All right. It's Jimmy Tu from Fullerton Markets. Thanks for joining us today and sharing with us your insights.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.